All right, welcome. I am Leonard O'Neill, and this is The Way. How are we doing? Namaste. Okay, so what exactly is The Way? Okay, The Way to me is, like I've said previously, that I've researched religions all over the world. I've researched all the, you know, philosophical thought, history. My entire life has been looking into the past at everything, military history, philosophical history, you name it, mythological history of the world and different cultures all around the world. That's what I've done my entire life. That's been my hobby. That's crazy, nerdy, geeky hobby, I know. But it's what I've done. So because of that, I've been exposed to and read most of, if not all of the, classics, as far as, a good classic upbringing. When I was a kid, the internet was the library, and I used to go to the library and check out all these books and read and go down that rabbit hole for everything. And it was my quest, it still is to this day, my quest for knowledge. You know, when I went to college and you go through philosophy 101, my teacher at the time, the first thing he said was that philosophy, which is the Greek translation, philosophy means the love of knowledge, or the knowledge of love. Okay, so that's what he put it, right? Philosophy means the love of knowledge. It's a Greek word meaning the love of knowledge, and that's what it is. Philosophy and being a philosopher, you love knowledge. So your quest in life is to know as much as you can. Well, given that, I asked my father, since we lived across the street from a church, it was a Mormon church, but it was a church, some Christian church. And I said, are we Christian? And he said, well, you need to find out. If you need to find out, I said that before on my shows, and look into it, but don't just follow, because we were, he was brought up Catholic. My mom's family was Catholic. But my father didn't go to the church, and he didn't think that he could, because he was divorced. And in the Catholic Church, if you got divorced, you were outed from the church. So he had gotten divorced because he was married once prior to my mother. So he didn't go to the church because he felt that he had been excommunicated from the church. So he didn't go to church. He was actually a very spiritual man. He just didn't go to church. So I started looking into it when I was a teenager, and I already had discovered, like, Native Americans, pardon me while I'm cracking my knuckles here, I'd already discovered, like, Native Americans and their religious way and the religious right. And then I found Alexander the Great. And then from there, it opened up all of this history, and I kept going down all these rabbit holes all over history. And my father being in the military, and all my uncles being in the military, I ended up learning about American military history. And then from there, I just, you just keep going. You can't learn about a culture without learning about their military history, right? So you learn about a culture, and you learn about what time it was they lived, how they lived, and the next thing you know, you're learning about how they gained their kingdom, lost their kingdom, and what was going on. So you end up learning all of that. And that's what I did. I still do that. I still try to learn as much as I can. So in doing that, you discover their religion, their philosophy, their ideology, their ways of doing things, their medicine, the everything, unless you don't want to. Well, me being someone who would love to be able to learn everything there is to learn on the internet and have the internet tell me, that's it, you've learned everything. There's nothing more in the universe that you don't already know. Woo, I got to the end of it. I did it, right? So my point is, that's what I did. And in doing so, I found that there was certain things that everything all encompassed started feeling this pull towards everything being encompassed into one, into the way the things seemed to work. I was when I was in college, I was physics was my major, philosophy was my minor. Okay, so I was into physics, and I wanted to be a nuclear physicist, and I wanted to be a theoretical physicist, and I was working on Einstein's theories, and I was working on a bunch of other string theory and Hawking's stuff that he was doing, his dark matter and everything that was really exciting. And you know, then I started to realize that science doesn't have anything other than the look, the touch, the taste, the smell, the feel. That's it. Mathematical probabilities of those assumptions. Taste, you know, visual, hearing, feeling, smelling, watching. Okay? And that's it. Nothing else. Everything has to be tangible. Well, how do you think you're going to figure out the entire universe and what's going on in the universe when you're going to limit yourself? Right? It doesn't allow you latitude to look at things from a different person, from any perspective other than tangibility. You know, the ghost hunters in their first season or two went into ghost hunting the exact same way. And after that, they realized, first of all, the ratings were dropping because they weren't finding anything. And when they did, they just went, yeah, we don't know what that is, but it's not a ghost. Can't be, because ghosts aren't real. Okay? That was their attitude. They debunked everything, or they dismissed it. They took a scientific, tangible approach. Now they have mediums that are on the show. I said back then, the biggest problem that these shows have is they don't have a medium in here with them now. Your show isn't successful, your group isn't successful unless you have at least one medium. Okay? So things have evolved. Those people learn the error of their ways and they evolve. Scientists don't. They refuse. They refuse to a thing to be a thing. It has to be tangible and you have to be able to clinically do it over and over and over again successfully 107 times straight. Period. Or it's not a thing. Okay, so that limits them to never, they'll just wander around in circles and never figure anything out. It's truth. Ask any scientist, what is gravity? And then ask them, what is the truth? What is really gravity? And they're going to say, well, we actually don't know. But I do. But they don't want to hear my theory on it at all because it doesn't have anything to do with anything tangible. Doesn't. Has to do with spirituality. Uh-oh. Can't have that. Free energy doesn't lie in destroying a thing to get a thing. So this blowing things up and catching things on fire to generate energy, transferring one energy to another energy isn't free. Well, then there's no way of getting energy. Yes, there is. It's in the opposite field. What would that be? Cold. Well, you're talking about cold fusion now. Oh. No, but that's a stepping stone in your mind to understanding it. Okay? Free energy is just, it's there. You just have to be able to grasp it. You have to be able to grasp it. Okay. So that's the kind of stuff that science will never figure out. I realized that working in those industries. When I was young, I always went, why is it that the scientists never take what anybody says seriously and they spend half of their lives trying to discredit people? And then I realized, well, you really kind of have to do that because you have to do that. If you can prove that it's not something and you can debunk it, then it is not something. But if you can't, then it's compelling and it has to be something else. Right? But people just obsess on, that's all they do. And then they go, well, I haven't been able to do it yet, but I will. And that's just what they do. They try to make their whole living, their whole life, just trying to discredit shit. They never do anything, never amount to anything. That's truthfully the way most scientists are. The ones that go out on a limb and try new stuff, then of course they're labeled, you know, like the church would label you a heretic. Okay, so I got away from all of that stuff knowing that that's a dead end. You're not going to get anywhere. I have a nephew who graduated and he has a degree and he could be a nuclear physicist. And the day he graduated, my brother said, congratulations, now you can go to work for NASA and work on rockets. And he said, I hate rockets. My brother said, what? Then why did you do all of this? He says, I want to know, I want to work on the real technology. He says, Dad, do you think that this rocket that was made in 1936 and the engine hasn't changed since then? That's 80, what, 90 years ago? 90-year-old propulsion system, and we don't have any new technology, but we have smartphones. But we don't have any new rocket propulsion technology of any kind. He says, I want to know what the real stuff is that they have. Smart kid. he understands that there's a breakaway society with unlimited supply of energy and all kinds of crazy stuff that you'd never imagine. Okay? He knows it's there, and he wants in. He's knocking at the door. He'll probably get in, too. Okay, so I noticed that all of this stuff combined, there were certain things that seemed to fit in and be a reoccurring theme across all cultures, all time, all space, all philosophies, and all religions. So when you started putting them all together, when I started putting all of the stuff together, and then I started looking around and talking to people, not about that, but about that, basically. Not about, oh, didn't even notice that all of this encompassed. I didn't do that. I kind of kept it to myself. I don't like to be swayed by people and their opinions. So I don't usually like to say, you know what my theory is on that, unless it's something that I don't really care whether, you know, whether you're trying to sway me or not. You know what I mean? Then I'll go, well, you know, I have a theory about that. And then I'll throw it out there. And that's maybe something I'm still working on and I'd like to hear stuff. Now, I'm not saying I don't like criticism. It's just, you know, like the day I said to my one of my friend's father, he says, well, you're going to be working in physics, are you? He says, what do you think you're going to contribute? I said, I'm going to prove that Einstein's wrong. And he says, you're going to prove Einstein's wrong. I said, yeah. He looked at me like I was a dumb kid. I was 18 years old, looked like a dumb kid. He goes, how are you going to prove Einstein's wrong? Well, little did I know that physics was his major in college as well. And he went on to work for the military. He was in the Navy, but I never asked him what he did. Right? And what he worked on was highly confidential and top secret. And apparently it had to do with a lot of what he knew. So he said, well, wrong about what? And I said, wrong about nothing's faster than the speed of light and only the tachyon goes backwards. And I went into talking about it and in describing to him my theory and where the math was wrong. And it was going under assumptions. And those assumptions were not only dangerous, but inaccurate. And that we have a technology now that kind of proves that it's different than that. Right? And I'm not going to get into all that right now because I don't want to. Because the truth is, if you listen to what I'm saying and you don't figure it out from what I'm saying now, that's good, because if I go further and I give it to you, that's dangerous. So I decided at some point I wasn't giving this to the governments. Well, I come to find out that they already had figured that out, but I didn't know that until I learned more about Black Ops and what was going on. So that's okay, but there's still stuff I'm not helping them with. And they're not sharing the stuff that I know the answers to as well, and I know that they know it, so but I'm not going down that road. So anyway, so I put all this stuff together. And I started to realize that there were just certain things, like, for instance, we all kind of tend to know that there is something out there. Whether we choose to believe it or not, it's inherent. Now, they say that we have a gene in our body that actually makes us, look for or worship a god. That's possible. That was tinkered with in some way. That's possible as well. Was it tinkered with by, you know, these aliens that people talk about that have come down and when they want to tell us that they created us and now we have this instinct, overwhelming desire to look for and have a God. And so we'll go, yes, you're our God. That's very possible that they may have done that. There was a very wise Englishman, and I don't remember his name, but I remember his quote. And he said, if there was no God, we would have invented one. Okay, because it's inherent in our DNA to look towards something. I think and I believe that it is there, but it's the God gene. It was put there by our creator so that instinctively we would know, even though, again, chaos, our brains were erased when we were born here. So we don't know for sure. That doubt is there. Chaos. That's the doubt. First is the forgetting, and then you have chaos. But then there is something there. Also, we are free to do and learn what we need to learn. Also, this place that we're in is sort of like a school or a college, and that there's certain things that we need to learn while we're here so that we can then graduate to, I don't know, something else. Okay? Or none of that's true, and you just live once and then you're done. I don't believe that. I feel, and most religions and most people feel, in and of itself, away from the ideology of religion, that there is something else and that we don't just have this life. So if you look at all this stuff and you combine it all from every religion, it doesn't matter. The semantics, take them all out. Can't have sex, can't be married, women can't be clergy. Take that stuff, throw it out. Da, 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 da. Start picking away at all the things that you disagree with or that you know are kind of morally wrong about churches, about religions, orthodox religions, and you start coming down to base root things that are very, very, very similar, okay? Even in the multi-gods, because you have the high god and then you have sub-gods. Well, in the singular god, the monotheistic religions, you still have the one god, and then you have the lower peoples below that are above us. So are they gods? Not quite, but they're another thing that we call angels, see? Or the Nephilim, or the cherubim. We have all these names that we label for these higher beings than ourselves, but they're not gods, but they're not human. But this is a reoccurring theme with just different titles. There's always one head of the whole house, the top of the pyramid, first and foremost. Doesn't matter if there's 100 gods, there's one that's on top, okay? And then there's male-dominated or female-dominated, right? And then you have some that are dual. They have the dualistic of male and female-dominated religions. But the whole thing is all still on the base root, still the same. That the encompassing god, quote-unquote, figurehead, be it a male, a female, or both male and female androgynous, is still there, apparent, wisdom, loving, caring creation, all across the entire world, okay? And then we know that we're supposed to strive to learn. So this is something that I just collected through all of this, and I called it the way. This is the way things are. It's not a religion that I'm trying to start. That's just how I refer to my personal belief on how things are in the universe. It's the way things are in the universe. So there are certain laws that are set down. There are certain things that are inherent in our DNA, okay, that we all just inherently know, no matter what. We're free. And people say, no, you were born a slave race. No. You know this. You sense this. It's in all the religions that we talk around the whole world. You're not a slave. We've made slaves of people. Humans make slaves of people, or maybe even other races, but they're still third dimensional beings, no better or worse than I am. No higher or above me or below. They just want the stations that they say they have, they project on you. The rich and the elite believe, because I am so rich, I must be in charge. This is all mine. Because look, I have enough money to get that person killed and that person and do what I will. And if I do something that's illegal, I pay this person and cover it up. Therefore, I am in charge. And everybody does what I tell them because I have money to pay them. That gives you a big head and you get a God complex and you think you're in charge. Doesn't mean that you are. Doesn't mean that the rest of us are slaves. So that almost a 20-minute blurb is what I call the way. We'll get into more details as to ringing that out as we go along, okay? So I wanted to explain that. But if you went to my page, Orion Rising, you'd read that the way. That's just basically what I just said right here. I have written down there. So that's how I got to where I am now. And I'm ever evolving, just like everybody else. I'm learning new things every day, or I try to. Okay, guys. So that's that. I was going to go maybe 15, but that's 18, almost 19 minutes there. So hopefully you get an idea of what I mean by the way. All right, guys. Have a good night.